Kevin, Mike Smith, I know he had Adam Francilia as a trainer in the offseason. Then he missed the first 3 weeks of the season due to injury. He comes back, and he hasn't allowed a goal to an opposing player in two games. Adam Larson, his defenseman, is the only guy who beat him when he went bar down in a game in Ottawa. Mike Smith has looked excellent. What have you seen? What's changed? What's different, if anything, in his style through two games?
Well, I mean, normally you would kind of say, like, I'm not looking at just the results, right? You want to see how it looks in terms of how he's moving. Are the changes he's made in terms of, you know, stance and posture, the hands a little bit more off the body, moving as one but not sort of scrunched up with the arms pressed tight against his sides, a little more relaxed. You're looking for all those signs. And to be honest, in the first game, there were moments where he started to come apart a little bit. Like, and when I say come apart, I don't mean like he's falling apart, but I mean like he's leading with, he's going body first into his movements rather than what we would call head first, sort of head down rotation, where if you trigger it with the head, the torso sort of follows and everything moves as one piece. Once you start reaching with the legs or sticking legs and limbs out, the other half of your body sort of counter rotates and pulls away. And that's what I mean about coming apart. You're sort of moving in two different directions, which is very stressful on your body first and foremost, but it leads you to get overextended. And in Mike's case, the reaction in the past is to typically end up pitched forward. That's his counterbalance when he gets opened up like that and end up on his belly. There were times in the first game where you could sort of see it coming and going a little bit, and you wondered, like, hey, is he going to pull this back? But he did. And it was even better in the second game. His movement was a lot better in terms of just making everything together and that balance. And I know they've worked on recoveries as well, like the idea of, hey, like butterfly push when we're from our knees, let's get across the crease rather than just sticking a leg out. And he's such a freak athletically and so long that he can get away with the other part, and he has for years. Like he can get a leg out there and make a great save, but you're always going to be better if you stay upright and over your knees and move your entire torso and your entire body back and forth. So I know that sort of down recovery movement is something that him and Dustin Schwartz have been working on, you know, since he got back to Edmonton, and it kind of goes hand in hand with the work he did with Francilia in terms of keeping everything together in those movements. And with his size, and still has good hands as well. He always has. It's what allows him to get away with playing so deep, you know, even when he was back in Arizona especially. Like, if you can maintain that body control and stay over your knees and not get opened up, like, it's a pretty special package. And again, the fact he's willing to make the investments off the ice to change his training to pursue this at this age, at this stage in his career, speaks a lot to the competitive nature and how fiercely he wants to be great. The fact it's translating early is a positive, because we talked about this with Matt Murray, right? Another guy who made significant changes with Adam Francilia in the offseason, and he struggled to make it work early on the ice. He was caught in between what he used to do and what he was trying to learn to do. The fact Mike's been able to sort of implement it quickly is very positive. And, you know, in some ways it might have been a blessing, you know, the freak injury that kept him from playing games, because it gave him, you know, even though the team was away for a stretch, when he did get back, there was even more time to sort of work on these things with Dustin Schwartz and get comfortable with the things he'd done off the ice, and how they translated on the ice without the results or the speed of the game to sort of lead to those pressure points that create that sort of old instinct, or that I got to open up, I got to go, I got to stick a leg out here, versus let's lead and move and track as one piece and get our whole body there.
You know, Woodley, you know, as a defenseman, I really appreciate how Mike Smith plays the puck, because it makes it so much easier so often when he either sets it up or makes a play or whatever. But for a goalie like him, what comes first? Does confidence come from moving the puck well and that helps you make saves? Or is making saves lead to confidence with playing the puck?
That is a hell of a question. And I got to be honest with you, I think it probably varies from guy to guy, but it's not a question I've asked Jason, so I don't want to, you know, I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth, but I think you just gave me an idea for a future column. I'm going to start asking the elite puck handlers, you know, whether they can build confidence off their puck handling. Like, in Mike's case, I don't think he's ever lacked confidence in his puck handling. And I, as a matter of fact, then that's part of one of his strengths. I remember having this conversation when he was in Dallas with me, him, Marty Turco sitting around. And, you know, as he was establishing himself, in the vein of Turco as one of the elite guys, having this conversation about not being afraid to make mistakes, like that you can't, if you're a guy that handles as much as they do, there's going to be mistakes. When you make them, they will be glaring. Everybody will scream about them. But you can't be afraid to go back out there. And because, like you said, as a defenseman, you know the value of that. You know how many hits they're preventing because you get to peel off the boards and take a pass as opposed to come behind the net, try and scrape a puck off the boards and get plastered. Like, it matters. And so I don't think he's ever lacked in that confidence, because even when he was early in his career, he talked about the importance of sort of getting right back out there and doing it again, and that's something he got from Turco. So I don't know if he builds confidence in his puck stopping off it. It certainly can't hurt, but I definitely don't think that Mike Smith goes out there thinking, geez, I better make a couple of saves so I can handle a couple of pucks. His mindset is handle all of them. So other guys that we've talked about this too, Pekka-Rinne, right? Like, Pekka's a guy, Andre Vasilevsky last year, the Tampa Bay Lightning, and we talked about this, how much better they were defensively when you looked at the analytics. Well, Vasilevsky wasn't as busy, and he didn't deal with that very well in the first half. So how did he manage to engage himself mentally in games where he wasn't busy physically? Much like Pekka-Rinne before him, he started handling the puck more assertively, more aggressively, more often to get him into the game. So in his case, playing the puck helps him feel good about stopping it on nights where he's not busy. And I've seen other guys go that way. But again, with Smitty, again, no lack of confidence. I think he's out playing every puck whenever he can because he's so damn good at it.
Kevin Woodley from InGoal Magazine and NHL.com joins us. Yeah, he's very good at it. Now, you mentioned, working just on core strength and everything else for Mike Smith. And, you see him, like, I watch him, and is he down on the ice more, Kevin? Like, I seen him when he's going side to side quicker. Like, I see it with goaltenders. They kind of stay down on the ice and wait if the puck's along the boards and wait to get back up to their feet. Is that a new thing that's being coached by a lot of guys? If so, what's the benefit?
I need to see the sort of situations, to be honest with you, Jason, and it does vary from guy to guy. And with Mike's size, yeah, he can certainly stay a little more patient and not necessarily be rushed to get back up in situations where pucks could make their way back to the net, because you can get caught in transition that way, getting back up. So certainly for bigger goalies, the trend is to sort of, once you've mastered your post play, and again, being able to move better on your knees and stay balanced and mobile from your knees is something that I think Mike will be better at this year because of the changes he made off the ice. And again, it's not just core strength, because he's always been just an absolute specimen athletically. It's more sequencing of movement that allow you to keep that core strength all pulling in the same direction. So, yes, he can probably get away with it more because of those changes and because of his size. And yes, goalies of a certain size, like, for example, we had Markstrom here and Demko as well at 6'4 and 6'5, like, that plays below the goal line or even close to the goal line. They've dropped a knee, they're on their post. The play goes behind the net, and sometimes even a guy coming down on the wing at speed, this is all one motion, the play goes from sharp angle, they're down on their post in reverse VH on that lead sort of pad is down on the ice. It gets behind the net, they've got a skate on each post in what we call the double seal with both pads on the ice and the ability to sort of shoulder check. And if it comes out the other side, boom, they're right into a transition into an RVH on that side. And if you're big enough, those shoulders go right up darn near right to the post, and you're sealed and you're protected, and you've sort of given yourself a movement pattern that allows you to be comfortably safe, to be in the net, and to not get beat in transition down by quick plays because you've got that seal along the ice. You don't, however, not everyone teaches it the same way in terms of wanting you to do that every time. You can become predictable. There are elements in that movement that can be targeted by other teams if they recognize those patterns as being every single time. I think in Dustin Schwartz in Edmonton, you'd have a goalie coach who probably wants a little variability, who doesn't believe you need to be down all the time. I know we talked with Cam Talbot in years past there where I was critical of him because once that puck came back up the wall, he had a tendency to stay in that reverse VH down on that lead knee against the post, where to me, as soon as it comes up above the goal line to a certain point, you need to now have a movement that allows you to come off that post and up to the top of the crease and be set and beat that play there and not still be stranded on your post. Because even though you're in the net and you're covered, you know, once that play moves up higher in the zone, like you can't find pucks through traffic if you're still down. Like you need to be able to get up and out of your transition off the post is as important as your ability to move in and around it. Watch Markstrom. Like he's exceptional at it. As much as he is on his knees when that play's down around below the goal line, and it is pretty much every time, as soon as that puck is up high in the zone, he's at the top of the crease and usually ahead of the play. So I don't think that they would want him sitting in that, but certainly the trend when the puck is down in dead angles, especially for goalies as big as Mike, is to be down on your knees and still have coverage a lot more than they used to be.
Joined by Kevin Woolley. We're taking a look at the world of goaltenders here with him today on the Jason Greger Show. As far as Mikko Koskinen and some of his play, what do you think he'd be working on with Dusty Schwartz, the goaltending coach for the Oilers, to either improve and or sharpen what he's done thus far, which is a lot of games?
No, I haven't had that conversation to ask, so this is my hunch as opposed to me asking Dusty outright or having that conversation. But I think it would be, there were some details in his game, and we talked about this as the starts piled up and they started to slip. Like precision of movements, Jason, you talked about, Jason Greger, that is, you talked about pucks going through him in some of those last starts. And to me, that's not sort of getting there, getting set, getting square early. I know some of the detail work on his post. I remember the Sam Bennett goal in tight. He actually played it well, but the Milan Lucic goal on the back door, he actually missed his post. And those are the details when we talk about the movements in terms of moving in and out of your post and off your posts. If you miss them, like it can be the difference between hitting it with the toe of your skate versus the heel of your skate or even the middle of your skate. Like that's a miss. If you don't get it in the right spot, now you can't push up and off it. And some of that precision detail work look to me like it had slipped in his game, even though the Bennett goalie executed perfectly and it was an equipment malfunction, in my opinion, that caused him. That pad just can't be that soft. There were other examples in that game where, you know, it was just off. He missed his spots. And you miss your spot by an inch, and now you're, you know, a second behind in your next push as you reestablish that edge. You're behind. And there were times where he was victimized by that. So he's a guy that loves to do the work. We know that from years past. He thrives on that extra work, and having Mike back and having Mike playing well is certainly going to present an opportunity for that. And my hunch would be you see a lot of movement patterns into shots, and you'd see a lot of post play just to get back to nailing those spots and being as precise as he can be, certainly more precise than he was towards the end of that run.
Kev, for next week, there will be a homework assignment for you, because I'm going to send you an article that Ken Dryden wrote. And as I was reading it, I literally almost I got so emotional with tears from listening him tell the truth about goaltenders cheating in today's NHL and how the tail is wagging the dog in the NHL. And he breaks it down, because I'm not a goalie, and he breaks it down how manufacturers and everything have allowed goalies to have a massive advantage today, massive advantage by equipment and everything else. And we're going to talk about that next Monday on the show. So you have a week to prepare. If you want to disagree with it, fine. But I'm curious what your thoughts are on this article by Ken Dryden that I uncovered today. It was fascinating. I had to read it like three times because he was explaining things that I'm like, okay, now I got to visualize this. So now when I watch the game, I'm going to be watching for the things he said. But it was amazing how he just says the equipment and the advancements in equipment and what they're doing and is allowed. And the goalies are smart because it's technically within the rules, but they're definitely allowing them to take away the game, and hockey's not nearly as exciting. And this is from a goalie's perspective. That's why I find it fascinating. So I'm going to
say so now I got to ask, if this was a new article, I got to think it would have been all up in my headlines and my Twitter deck and all that kind of stuff.
Came out this morning, my man.
That's fascinating because I think the horse got out of barn on a lot of equipment, and there were some elements that you couldn't put the horse back in the barn, just couldn't. Not without going back to wood sticks like the Penguins did in practice. But there are other elements that I think they've done a really good job of sort of cutting back on. So I'll be really fascinated to read this, and I look forward to weighing in on it once I've had a chance to.
Yeah, so we'll be discussing it next Monday on the show. I'll send it out at the start of the show next week or even maybe on Friday so people have the weekend to read it. It's pretty long, but it's very in-depth about the position. It's fascinating to me. So we'll talk about that next Monday. Thanks, Kev.
I appreciate it. I look forward to it.